and relationships are proportional. If you don't have a relationship with someone, it's very difficult for them to assault you or hurt you. But if you have a relationship with someone, they could say something, they could do something or not do something, not do something, not even know they didn't do something, and you could be hurt by it. But what's worse than that is that when you let the hurt that happened to you afflict you to the point where it causes negative responses to happen. It weighs you down. It torments you. And I don't care how old you are. I don't care how spiritual you've become. You should never get to a place where you think, well, I can handle that and hold that hindrance inside of you. I debated on whether or not I'd share the story that I'm going to share, and I was thinking about it last week. I actually had it written down in my notes because if I don't write things down, I forget them. Now I not only write things down, but now I forget where I wrote them, so I don't know that I wrote them down. But I didn't write it down, but I felt the Lord just prompt me. I want you to share this today. And I was in a situation, and I don't want you to try to figure out who or where or how. That's not the point. I want to tell you the story and tell you how God dealt with me on it, and maybe it'll help somebody here. I had a guy come up to me after the first service, and he goes, I will tell you a little story. This is what I prefaced it with. When the enemy wants to attack me, he always starts about Friday night, and he'll go until Monday morning. No lie. It's been that way ever since I've been in the ministry. Starts right on Friday, starts to sow seeds of doubt, you know, and it'll come through either an oppression that I just feel, and I don't even know why, or it'll come through a person. If he really wants to sideswipe me, he gets somebody to come to me right after I get done speaking and begins to tell me. And I've learned something by that. A lot of times on Thursdays, I'll have the young people, I'll have and invite people to speak here on Thursday that don't have much experience in it. And I know that the only way you can get experience is by doing it. And when I have them come up, I'll literally take notes on things that they could do better. But I never go and tell them right after that service because I know what that could do to a person. Little food for thought for all of you. And I had this one person one time come up and attack me after service. And I said, I left and I said, I'm going to go get my tractor and I'm going to drive right over their car. This guy in the first service, he goes, I said, I hope nothing I said offended you. He goes, as long as you repented from that. I said, oh, I did. I never did drive over his car. He goes, good. I'm like, what? Just being honest here. And I've had that feeling, and I said, okay, what would my pastor do, Pastor Ron Domina? And I could hear him like he was standing next to me say, just go talk to him. And that's what I did. But I was out with some other people, and I was speaking, and I was preaching, and I didn't preach, and I had gotten done. And this person was mad at me that actually had invited me. And I couldn't, you know, I'm for the life of me, but I thought, well, I'm not going to bring it up. I'm not going to get involved in it now because I'm just going to move on. And just got done with the engagement, got home, called up, and a couple weeks later said, you know, did I perceive something there? Well, yeah, you know, got mad because of this. It wasn't anything to do with you. And the reality, it had nothing to do with me. It had to do with somebody else that made them mad, and they took out on me. And food for thought, 9 out of 10 times when people they get upset at you, there's something else going on in their life that's stirring the pot, and you just happen to be at the right place at the right time for them to unload on you. You know what I'm talking about? And that's what happened here. But I was so taken back by it, and to be honest with you, I'm being vulnerable. And if you hold this against me or you look down at me, you'll just have to get over it. And I know there's greater pastors in the area than me. I know that there's pastors that never have to deal with this humanity like I do. I'm just an old farm boy from South Byron. I'm as raw and as down and dirty as they get. But I got upset. And I got angry. Well, that, you know, who do they think they are? I can't believe that. And they told me they were sorry, but I'm like, no, I'm going to be mad. You got to make a decision to stay mad. I'm going to be mad. I'm taking my toys and I'm going home. And I stayed that way. And I just did the spiritual thing and I laid it up over here. And mighty man of God I am, I can handle that. It's over here. I won't have to see them or talk to them. And it'll be over and done with. Foolish. And I get another call from them that they asked me to come speak for them again. And I was waiting for it. Because I was waiting. I'm going to tell them no. I don't want to go anywhere anyways. I like being home, and I'm not going. I'm going to tell them why I'm not going. You know, I'm getting all this. I'm getting fired up about this. And in the meantime, I'm reading and studying about love and about forgiving. I'm like, God, why you got to do that to me? Why can't I? Why can't I just be torqued? People get mad at me all the time. Why can't I get mad at other people and just hang on to it? What's wrong with that? And so I made up my mind. I'm not praying about it. I'm not asking God about it. I am torqued at them. I'm not going. I don't care how much honorarium they give me. I'm not going. Never praying about it. And then God speaks to me like, and he must live on another time zone because it's like 3-4 in the morning. Wake right up out of a dead sleep and I hear the voice of God speaking to me, an impression on my heart. I want you didn't ask me about this. I'm like, well, Lord, no, because I wasn't interested in your counsel. You should know that. You're the Lord. And so, okay. So I begin to pray. You know what I felt? The Lord just nudged me. That it didn't really matter whether or not I went. But what mattered was my heart. Am I going to go down that road? Because once you make the decision to hold bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, and you make the decision that you're not going to share love with others, you make a decision that comes with a whole lot more than that little moment that you're upset over. You need to really hear me now. This is really good. Some of you are struggling in your family, in your relationship with your husband or your wife, because you're mad at over something that happened, and you're not letting it go, and you haven't let it go. And God is telling you today that if you don't let that go, you're going to be mad at the next thing and the next thing. And you know what I find out sometimes with people? You ever met somebody? I'll never forget, years ago, met this guy. And so what kind of guy is he? He's even-tempered. He's mad all the time. You ever meet somebody that's just angry over everything? Just mad over everything? It doesn't matter what's going on. They're mad. And it's because their heart is filled with this unforgiveness, this resentment, this hatred. And it's coming out in everything that they say and all that they do. And you and I cannot afford to do that or to be that kind of person. You have to be quick to forgive, quick to let go, quick to ask God, help me, Lord. I'm upset. And you know what I've just learned over time? Well, I've just been honest with God. Lord, I don't like that person right now. Help me. I'm just being gut honest with you. If you can't handle it, just adjust your halo. You'll be okay later. You got to help me. And you know what God does? I'm so surprised. He helps me. He not only helps me to love them, I even forget why I didn't like them at the time. I got to love everybody. I don't have to like you, but I even like you. And God helps me with that. Am I making sense to anybody here this morning? So if there's an area of your life and you're holding something against someone and you think you're spiritual enough to handle it, you're fooling yourself, but you're not fooling God. And He wants to lift you out of that. He wants to help you. For some of you, it's because you've left your first love. And I'm going to talk about that next week out of Revelation when Jesus talks about the church of Ephesus. He said, you're doing all these other things. You're great at this, but there's one thing he said I have against you, and that's that you've left the love that saved you. You don't have that burning inside of you like you did. You've lost that fire. And when you lose that, you not only lose it towards God, but you lose it towards everybody else. You get mad over everything. It doesn't take anything just to upset you. Somebody butts in you in front of the line, I'm going to tell you. You're going to hear it from me. Honey, so funny. She's so cute. I told you the story last week. They butt in front of me driving. And I'm like, I'm not going to let that happen. She goes, why don't you just let them go? And somebody could, I mean, she just back off and they're driving. She's in line, though, and somebody starts to come up. She goes, excuse me, the line is here. And me, I'm like, come on up, get right up in front of me. And then I want to buy your coffee today. Let God work that in you. Let him work that in you, baby. She's not feeling good today, so I got to help her. Last week I talked about love. This is love reset. This is, some of you got to push the on-off button. Let it start over again in you. Let it be fresh in you. You got to say it. Learn to say it. Learn to say, I love you. Learn to, in your home, I love you. Learn to write it. Send some notes, send some texts, send some heart emojis. Come on, baby. I love you. Learn to give it. Doesn't have to be expensive, and all the men said. It just, that was the best amen I've got out of the men in a long time. Bunch of tightwads anyways. Give it. Give something. Show something. Show some love. Do it. Forgive. This is part of it. You got to let it go. If you don't let it go, it's going to torment you. And then you got to live like it. You got to act free. You know, the Greeks had some definitions for four of them, but I wrote down three is for love. The one is eros. That means that's just an attitude. I'm going to get what I can get. All you want is for somebody. You just want somebody to give to you. You live under that banner of taking all the time. You have nothing that you want to give. You just want to take. And then there's the love. It's the friendship kind of love. It's the phileo love. It means, well, I got you a present. Now I want you to get me a present. My present was $30. Now you got to get me a $30. Those are such shallow loves. And then there's the agape love. That's the love that God shows to you and I that he wants living inside of us so that we can show others. That means that you give unconditionally. You don't give with anything in expectation in return. You give with a plan and a heart that you're not going to get anything back. In fact, you don't know real love until you give somebody something that can't give it back to you. And when you do that, then you're embodying this love that Jesus has and shared with you and I. And I love 1 John 4. You should just make it a plan this week to read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John in your Bible. 1 John 4, 8, 9, and 10. He says, he who does not love does not know God. Because God is love. It's not up on the screen. You're going to have to look in your Bible on this. God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us. That God, this is what he did. He acted. He sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that I love God, but that he loved us. He loved me. And he sent his Son for me. He showed me love. He gave me love when I didn't even know him. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. When I was bound in my trespasses and my sin, when I was far away from God, God sent his Son, Jesus. He gave his best so that I could live and know what love is really about. He said he sent his Son to be the propitiation, the King James and the New King James says, be the propitiation for our sins. It means he satisfied every wrong that you've ever done, you're doing, or ever could do. He satisfied it. He covered your darkness. He did away with the condemnation that the enemy would try to put on you for the life that you once lived. He has come because he loved you and he shared his love with you through his son, Jesus Christ. And he's become that. 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the others. You see, when we know the love of God in our life, then we share the love of God with others. John 13:34-35, Jesus says, I give you a new commandment to love one another as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. He goes on to say, and everyone will know by this that you're my disciples because of the love you have for one another. Don't tell me how much you love. Show me. Jesus came into the world. God sent his son. He'll show you. And love, when it embodies who you are, you just don't say, well, I love you, brother. No, you are that love. John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. And agape love always considers others. It always looks, how can I give this love that I've received to others? Ahead of my own needs, to live sacrificially, to give without demanding anything in return, and the love that is so powerful that it can overlook an offense in my life. And agape love is a decision to receive and to respond to God's love in your life by giving it away. Agape love is not based on a feeling. However, when you share that love, you get a great feeling. Whew. So what is love? And I want to just remind you, and I shared this last week, I just want to remind you, love is patient. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. It's patient. If you're going to have real love, you're going to have to work on the patient end of things. Love is kind. It's always extending good to someone else when it's within their power. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. It's not puffed up. It's not arrogant. Love is not rude. Well, I love you, but I gotta just tell you, this lady one time years ago, that's an ugly shirt and tie you're wearing. Good morning to you. Well, I love you, but I got to tell you the truth. It was truth in her eye, but obviously she wasn't the stylist that I was. Love is not rude. Love is not provoked. It's not easily angered. And see, this is what happens when people begin to have hate and resentment in their life. Everything that comes to you, get them. Rip them off. You cut in front of me one more time, I'm going to ram you. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love rejoices in truth. Love always rejoices in the best. I want to see the best for others. I want to see others blessed. Love does not rejoice in something that's bad happening to you. Listen, so many people, they say these things, karma's going to get them. There's no karma in the Bible. If you got paid back for everything you did, you'd be a pile of dust here today, and that would be something good. You don't get what you deserve. I don't either. Jesus took what you deserved at the cross, shed his blood, gave his life so that you and I could live. Come on, that's the gospel. And love does not rejoice in, well, they got theirs, didn't they? And I am so, if you can't say good things on social media, would you just erase that from your life? My goodness, come on, my brothers and sisters. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love bears all things. It protects. It doesn't cover up, but it covers. And I thought of this. I pondered on this a little bit. My wife, she's been sick the last couple days. She's been sleeping on the couch, and I walk up there, and love, you know, I know she's got a cold, and she's coughing a lot and doing all. I don't walk up when she's napping and pull the blanket off of her so she gets colder yet. I cover her more so that she gets nice and warm and toasty and feels the love. Come on today. Love bears. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "And above all these things, have fervent love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sin." Noah, the Bible says, after he had built the ark and had great victory, the Bible says he began to create an infrastructure, and he planted a vineyard, and he harvested the grapes. He made some wine from it. It must have been some high-powered stuff. He got inebriated. One of my sons came up to me because I described it in another fashion in the first service. He said, "Dad, you can't use that word." So I'm going to refine my communication. Noah became very inebriated. And the Bible says that his youngest son came in. Leave it up to them youngest sons, I'm telling you. His younger son discovered him laying naked and began to declare the shame of his father. But his older sons came in with a blanket. I'll never forget this when I first read it. Had a blanket over their shoulder. They backed in, not looking at the shame. He did it. He was laying there naked. But they wouldn't look on it. And they would not talk about it. And they covered him up so that no one else. Come on. Are you somebody that is bearing things with others? Are you standing in the gap? You helping to cover, to heal a hurt? You finding a need and filling that need? Are you being the person that is showing love in a very difficult situation? Because if you are, you are embodying who Jesus is in this world today. No man has seen God, but if we love one another, the love of God is inside of us. You want to see God? You don't have to sit and try to visualize some image in the sky. All you got to do is look at somebody that's showing love to someone that doesn't deserve it, that shouldn't get it, yet they're loving him. When you see that, you see God. Spurgeon said, "Love stands in the presence of a fault with a finger on her lip." Watch what you say, because love, then he goes on to say, he believes all things. We're not trying to see through somebody. We're trying to see people through. We don't look for the dirt in somebody else. If somebody does us wrong, we don't get on Google and try to find out what everybody else is saying about them. We love and we believe, and we never believe evil. We choose to believe the best of others. Even if they're wrong, we'll stand with them. We'll help them. We'll uphold them. We'll gird them. And I'll tell you what, there's been several in my life that have come to me. And I say to them, "Listen, I don't care what happened, what you did. I'm sorry. That was wrong. You shouldn't have done it." But when they repent, there's only one way they can go from there is up. When you say, "I'm sorry," and you stand before God and you say, "I was wrong, Lord, forgive me," there's no more gutter for you. All there is you're going to go up from there. But you got to start at that place. Come on, that's a good place. Clap your hands today for Jesus. Love hopes all things. When someone is hurt, they have the best. They help, they hope, they speak things like, "You're going to make it." They say things like, "Keep your head up. You're going to get through this." My goodness, it's been many times. People have come into my office. Chuck Wood, he and his wife, they're still on a cruise. I can't believe that guy. But anyways, I got caught up in the Caribbean there for a minute. Hearing the calypso playing in the background. Oh, I got to get back to the word. Anyways, I had him walk into my office years ago. He just walked, knocked it. "Hey, you got a minute, Pastor?" "Yeah, come on in, Chuck." He said, "I just want you to know, you're going to get past all that. You'll get beyond that." You know, when you're younger, any little thing that comes to you, you just say, "Oh, my God." Now, okay, praise the Lord. But when I hear those words, when somebody tells me you can hope again, you can believe God, give you confidence for the future, not a pessimistic person, but somebody that's got optimism and says you're going to rise higher, you're going to go farther. And I really believe that. If somebody here is today, you're down and you're out and you felt hurt, you felt betrayed, whatever it is, God's got a pathway out of that. He'll take you higher than you've ever been. He'll lead you on farther than you've ever been. He'll bless your life more than you've ever known. Because if God is for us, who in the world could be against us? Endures love, endures all things. Love doesn't run when bad is happening to somebody. You want to know who your friends are? I told somebody that this morning. You want to know who your friends are? When you're in the middle of trouble And the people that love you still love you. I don't need people that just want me when I'm on the top. I want people to love me when I'm walking through a dark time, when I'm in trouble, when I'm weeping, when I'm hurting, when something troublesome is happening in my life. I want to know that somebody still loves me. And when I find that out, I'm going to tell you what, it'll be a friend of mine for life. I don't care how good looking you are. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how much hair you have or don't have. I'm going to love you. When you stand with me through the dark and the difficult times, I'm going to love you. And that's something that just worked inside of me. I just love to stand up for the down and outer. I love to come alongside of the person that everybody else is kicking and just grab their hand and say, come on, walk with me. I'll protect you. I'll stand with you. I'll hold you up because I know what it's like to be down and out and to have somebody kick me when I couldn't move. And then to have somebody come along, take my hand and say, walk with me. I'm going to help you. I'm going to lead you on. And I love to do that. I love to. I love to speak blessing over somebody that other people are just talking negative about and cursing and saying they're no good. They never amount to nothing. Yes, they are good. They got good inside of them. Woo, come on now. I just feel like it in here, right up in this house. Ephesians 3, 17, 18, and 19. I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the saints. We need one another, my brothers and sisters. We need to have love for one another, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Jesus. I want to tell you today, while we're all together today, that God's love is beyond anything you've ever known. It goes deeper. It goes farther. It's broader than any evil that could ever come and stand against you today. It's the love of God for our lives. And when we love Him and when we experience that love, and you got to experience it. You have to know that. And maybe for some of you, you can't give it because you've never known it. And I love this scripture in Luke chapter 7. I'm going to close with this. Luke chapter 7, there's a story about, the Bible says, a woman who was a sinner. That's a nice way to put it. My son also chided me on how I described that in the first service, so I'm going to leave it at that. She was a sinner. She knew that Jesus was at the table of a Pharisee's house. And the Bible says she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. And she stood at his feet behind him weeping. Look at that scripture in verse 38. She stood at his feet behind him weeping. And I thought of that. I pondered that for days this week. How could she stand at his feet and yet behind him? There's only one way. Because he was down like this, and she was behind him, standing at his feet, behind him. Jesus is making intercession for you and I. And the Bible says she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. And the Pharisee who had invited him and spoke to himself, saying, if this man were a prophet, he would know what manner of woman this is and who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus said, Simon, I have something to say to you. He said, say it. There's a certain creditor that had two debtors. One owed 500 and the other 50 denarii. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, which of them will love him more? Simon said, I suppose the one who he forgave more. Maybe that's why I love. I know how much I've been forgiven. He said to him, you have rightly judged. He turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. She's washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, that same person loves little. He said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this that even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Sometimes you got to experience the love of God for yourself. Sometimes you got to know what Jesus has done for you. Sometimes you got to reflect back that he went to the cross and died for you. And I don't care who you are today, how good you've been, how good an upbringing you have. You are born into the world separated from God. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You didn't have to make one little noise, and you were born into the world a sinful person. And Jesus came in the form of humanity and divinity, 23 chromosomes of divinity and 23 of humanity, and came into the world, felt what you and I felt, yet walked with the power and the presence of God. He was God in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Verse 14 in John chapter 1 says, and all things were made by him, and not anything was made that wasn't made by him. He was God in the flesh, and he came to this world. He took upon himself the sin of you and I. He went to the cross of Calvary. He hung on that cross. He shed his blood, took a beating that he didn't deserve and that you and I did, just so you and I could live free and love one another. Because now, when we receive him as our Savior, that love is inside of us, not to just hold on to when it's convenient, but when we don't want to, when we don't feel like it, we give the love because he gave his love to me. To me. Close your eyes, bow your head today. I'm so cognizant of the fact that some might be here and you've never given your life to Christ. You need to do that today. Don't you leave here today without making that commitment to Jesus. Say, Christ, I want you in my heart. I want you in my life. I don't care how much you've messed up. I don't care what your story is, where you've come from, what you've done. You couldn't sin enough to stay away from the love of Jesus. Prayer people, come down, stand with me. I'm going to close. If I'm talking to you today, maybe you're here and your life has grown cold. When I spoke that scripture out of Revelation that you've left your first love, some of you may be doing everything. Jesus was telling them, you do all these other things. You're so good at all this other stuff. You got it all down so good, but this one thing, you forgot who I am. You're not excited about plans and the purposes of God like you used to be. You do things because you think you have to, and because not because God saved you and you love to. When somebody asks you to do something, you say, well, you know, that doesn't fit into my schedule. You lost that first love. Some of you are here today, maybe you've been assaulted, maybe you've been wounded. Just your eyes closed, your head bowed. I'm going to close in just a moment. And you can never judge a person who's been severely abused, hurt, broken, and say, don't ever say to somebody, just say, oh, just forgive them and move on. Just love them. Don't ever communicate that with so little empathy in your life. Put your arms around somebody sometimes. Say, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to help you. I'm going to walk through it with you. I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to help you to forgive. And when you show people love, it helps them to replicate that to the people that hurt them and wounded them the most. Hallelujah. Oh, I sense God's power up in here right now. I'm going to close in prayer. I want you to come down here today. If you're here, you've never given your life to Jesus, before you leave, you need to come. If you're here, you're away from him, you need to come. If you're not where you should be with him, you need to come. Come down here. Stand right here. Somebody's going to pray for you. We're going to believe God with you. If you've been hurt by somebody, I don't want to make any, we're not going to make any spectacle of anybody. I don't want to. But take it to the Lord. I became very vulnerable with you to start the service. Take it to the Lord. Let him heal your heart. Father, I'm going to pray and I'm going to close and I want you to come. Father, you can come even while I'm praying. These folks are going to pray for you. Believe God, we stand with you. God, I just want to say thank you today. Whew, I just felt the Lord lay on my heart. Somebody that is here, you have been, the word comes to me, and I don't know all the pieces to this, but you have been abused. I don't know what that means, but the Lord has come here today. He's not going to make a spectacle out of you. He never does that. He wants to heal your heart, help you to move on from that. Spirit of the living God, I ask you, Lord, as I did last night, I ask you again this morning, and I ask you right now, fall fresh upon your people in this house today, I pray. Let the glory of God completely have his way right now. Touch hearts. God, I pray for a release in somebody's life, even as I'm speaking. Come down here. I'm going to close right now. Get out of your seat right now. Come. Don't sit there. Don't wait for somebody else. You be the first one to come. Come quick. Maybe you're struggling with an addiction today. So, well, you didn't say anything about that. That's always here for God to help you with. Come quickly. Come right now. Father, I thank you for your glory. I thank you for your power. I thank you for the love of Jesus in this place right now. Pour it out upon your people. Heal brokenness. Redeem those who have been assaulted. I pray, God, that today that you will make alive that which seemed dead. I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I love you so much. God bless you so much. Listen, before you go, if you need prayer, you need a touch from God in your life, I believe God to do something great. Come on down here. We'll have some more people come up and pray as well. I love you. Go in God's grace, right? Don't leave before you need prayer. Come down.